Good morning. I know I was here like 2 weeks ago, but I feel like the last month has just been a miss for me. So I apologize if you've been here over the last month and you've never seen me and you're like, who is this guy? My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach. If you didn't know this already, but we had a group of churches here locally that all through July we rotated in everybody's church. And then last Sunday, we had a joint service down at Brunswick Community College. Hands, who was there? Pretty amazing, I think. Just to give you a follow-up, we collected and will be giving the Brunswick County Sheriff's Department, specifically the officers in schools, the SRO officers, we'll be giving them $6,000 as a donation for what we collected last week. And I think they collected over 128 kind of thank you notes and notes of encouragement that they'll be giving out to the Sheriff's Department, and they'll be able to encourage them. So I appreciate everybody that gave last week towards that. I think that's a great way for us to serve our city and seek the best of our city, not necessarily just through a church environment, but just saying, hey, we're with you, we're supporting you. So I wanted you to know that. Just on a side note, and this has nothing to do with what I'm going to say, but you should know, in case I like get a leg cramp during the service, I ran a Spartan race yesterday in Asheville, and I'm in a lot of pain. So like if I do something like this for a little bit, it's not like I'm striking a pose. It's like my calf just locked up. Someone took a picture of me. I fell on the ground earlier, so you just never know. What's going to happen. Ran that yesterday and drove back last night, got into my house at 10:30. Woo! So I'm going to try to be on task and on point this morning and to keep everybody in awake while I try not to fall asleep while I'm up here. So we're starting a brand new series this week. It's something I've actually never done here at the church. We've talked about prayer as a series, but I've never taught through the Lord's Prayer, and so over the next 6 weeks, we're literally going to, today is just going to be, we're going to intro it, and the next 5 weeks following this, we're going to take a line every week and explain what does it mean. If you grew up in a traditional church, like I did, every Sunday you heard the Lord, you would recite as the church the Lord's Prayer, and we may forget that it's not just it's not just like this thing that we say as a church, and that's the prayer. Jesus was teaching them how to pray, and so we're going to start that today. And at the end, I'm gonna try. Like my goal is to preach about 25 minutes to share on this topic, get us encouraged, and then I'm gonna call the worship team back up here, and then we're gonna have about 5 or 10 minutes at the end that we're gonna have worship going, but we're going to pray because I believe. The best way to learn how to pray is just to pray. And so I'm going to lead us in that. And you can either pray with yourself, you know, by yourself, or you can pray with who you came with, or you can pray with those that are around you if you want to. You'll understand that we're all normal people. And I want to just preface this. There might be one or two of you in this room, maybe more. So if there's more than you, I apologize in advance, that are like, they eat, live and breathe prayer. Like it is their wheelhouse. They wake up in the morning, they pray, and it's like, that's just what they do. And I would say the majority of us in this room, we struggle with being consistent in prayer. So I want to disclaimer, I have what is today and what is not today. Today is not a guilt fest to make you feel bad that you don't pray. Because that would defeat the purpose. Then you would leave here, you'd feel bad that you don't pray enough, and then you would not pray because you feel bad about not praying. And so my goal today and through this whole series is to connect us with a God that wants to hear from us. Because if we serve a God that wants to hear from us, you know, there is no fear in opening our mouth. And let me just disclaimer, because most of us learn the Lord's Prayer in King James. You do not have to speak to God in the King James vernacular. So, like, it happens. Like, you start praying, and you automatically, start talking, Old English. And I don't know what that is, probably our upbringing. But I want us just to get in. And so every week, we're going to have kind of some I don't want to call it prayer homework because we are in a middle school and homework scares people and you start going, I'm not into this. But especially the next 5 weeks, there's going to be a specific because we're going to learn what God meant when he said these five lines in the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to have some targeted stuff that we want to work on during that week. And so before we begin, I want to pray, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our dad. Lord, you desire to hear the voice of your children. And Lord, we struggle with that, a lot of us. And Lord, I just pray as we begin today, as we look at your word and we realize that even your disciples that followed you didn't get it. And they asked, teach us, Lord, that this next 6 weeks, including today, that you would teach us how to connect. Because in our connection with you is where we find life. And Lord, we need life. Lord, this crazy world that we live in wants to consume us. And our lifeline is connecting with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that, that you would put out condemnation, that Romans 8:1 literally would be, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that as we begin this new journey, as learning how to connect with you, that, Lord, there wouldn't be condemnation that would keep us from connecting. But Lord, I pray that we would not only realize that you want to hear our voice, but that you personally have made a way for you to hear our voice. You've made a way for us to be connected through your Son, through his sacrifice. And I pray this morning that you would open our eyes to the joy of connecting with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start in Luke 11 and all the scripture that I'm going to go through. I'm not going to piece by piece go through the Lord's Prayer, but I just want every week we're going to read the section of it so it becomes familiar with us. But I want to take the first line out of Luke 11, 1, which is the other kind of parallel of where the Lord's Prayer is. Matthew 6 is where we're actually going to learn from it out of. And Matthew 6 is during the Sermon on the Mount, one of the largest segments of teaching that Jesus did at one point that was recorded. But in Matthew, it leaves out this. So in Luke, it actually says in verse 1, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and Jesus prayed. Like, I think sometimes we lose sight that not only was Jesus man, but Jesus was God, and sometimes we think, you know, if you're God, you don't really have to, you're already connected. But like, Jesus took time early in the morning, and he did this so that his disciples would see him participating and connecting and how important that relationship was. And so they were clueless. And another thing you need to know about the 12 disciples, most of them were good Jews, meaning they were raised in the temple. They knew the Torah. They had memorized most of their Bible. They had done all the practices that their family went through. So they participated in all these events and all these celebrations, and they knew all of this. And prayer was part of that. And here's these people, his disciples, the ones that he's chosen, going, having one of those aha dumb moments. And I think sometimes we feel like everybody else is smarter than we are, especially when it comes to spiritual things. Like, you look around the room, when you're shaking hands or hitting fists today, you're like, man, there's so much spiritual than I am. Like, you just look at people and you're like, man, they got it together, when the reality is most of us don't. We just make it look like we do on Sunday morning. That's why, disclaimer, like, if I fall down, I ain't got it all together today. And, you know, I think sometimes we lose sight that, you know, all of us have the same issue of trying to connect with the Father, and it doesn't always come easy. And so here's the disciples, the one that Jesus picked to be the ones that were going to carry the church after he left. coming to him, and I imagine, I have little scenarios, like my brain plays like a movie as I read the scripture, and I imagine, like, so he's praying somewhere, and it's quiet, and there's no one else around. Because, like, you don't go ask dumb questions when a group's around. Like, intentionally, you don't know, sometimes we do that, but we don't know it's a dumb question, but typically, you know, it's like, everybody's gone, and you ask, like, my kids do this to me sometimes, they ask things they wouldn't ask out there, what is this? And they wouldn't ask around their friends, or they wouldn't ask in their car, and I imagine that this scenario, Jesus is all praying, and it's kind of quiet, and the disciples, you know, all the people are gone for a little bit, they're like, hey, and they probably pick one. I bet it was Peter, because Peter's the one that he was just willing to do whatever. I mean, cut off somebody's ear. You know, he denied Christ. He was just, I'm a Peter guy. And so I imagine it, you know, they're like pushing Peter to Jesus, like, Jesus. So when he finished, one of the disciples, we'll call him Peter, said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So John the Baptist here is who they're referring to. He had taught his disciples how to pray. And so the disciples were looking at Jesus going, teach us to pray. And this is where we get what we're going to talk about. And so this is God the Son in flesh teaching his disciples how to connect with the Father. And so we're going to go back to Matthew 6. And then I'm going to read a section before it. Or, you know, all of it, not just the Lord's Prayer. We're going to start in verse 5, and we're going to go through verse 15. I'm reading out of the ESV, so if yours is a little different, that's okay. And it's also going to be on the screen behind us. Okay, and so there's a little bit, at the beginning of this, there's a little bit of condemnation when it comes to praying incorrectly. And he's going to get to this. So he says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. So he's saying, hey, prayer isn't, you know, like, let's pray. And, like, I want to be the one that says the most words in this prayer, and I want to sound the best so people will think I'm spiritual and that God loves me more because we're so connected. But he's saying, hey, don't be like those people that just do prayer so that they're seen to be spiritual. In verse 6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap on empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Like they had this where they had these, they would just keep saying, you know, just keep repeating these same prayers, hoping that their gods would hear them, so they would just say words and words and words and words just so they could, you know, eventually be heard. He's saying, don't be like that, for they think, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. That's amazing. Like, that's the beauty of prayer. Like, even before you figure out how you want to phrase what you're going to pray, God already knows what you actually are trying to pray. I mean, God already knows that. Like, and that should take off some of the, and I know it's intimidating to pray out loud in front of people, and so today, like, if that's not comfortable for you, pray inside. Like, God hears you. You can speak inside of your head, and He already knows what you're going to say even before you speak it inside of your head. We saw that all through the New Testament when Jesus knew exactly what was going on in the consciousness of people who were trying to trap Him in things. In verse 9 it says, pray then like this, and this is what we're going to be doing, and literally every verse will follow over the next 5 weeks. So pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. That's a big one right there. I don't know if I'm excited or not about that week, but it's going to be awesome. Verse 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this, that ends the Lord's Prayer. And then in verse 14, it says, for If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Forgiveness is not optional. Like, I think sometimes we as church think, or church people, followers of Jesus, feel like forgiveness is a good idea, but we don't look at it through the lens. I mean, there's another section in the scripture that says, actually, if you don't forgive someone from your heart, so not like verbally, like if you're married, there's been lots of, will you forgive me? That's, you know, kind of words, because you know you're in trouble, and you have to say those words to get out of trouble. It's like the phrase, do I win by saying that phrase? But not so here. And so over the next 5 weeks, we're going to unpack each of those, because those are a way of thinking about how we connect with Father, whether it be praising Him or whether it be petitioning Him, asking something from Him. And so what I want to do over this next bit, I have about 6 scriptures, and I want to try my best to convince you that God hears you and wants to hear you, and then we're going to pray together. And I want to kind of talk about the differences between, and this is, I'll confess a little bit here, between earthly dads and God the Father. See, in most households, not ours, because everybody in here is awesome, and you've figured out child rearing, and our grandchild rearing at this point for some of you. And, you know, for other people, not in this room, of course, the as long as you behaved and did what was necessary, Dad was great. He was happy. His voice was low. He never yelled. As long as you went under the radar and you didn't necessarily add to that, so you wouldn't go and stir up anything. And so you would, you know, some of us would just stay away from Father, so that we wouldn't get in more trouble, because when our mouth opens, Proverbs 10:19 is one of my favorites. I say it a lot. It says, when words are many, sin will abound. Just let that like settle in. Words can get us in trouble. Men, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes less is better. Less is better. And so we can take that, what we felt from our fathers, kind of this tension of going, are we going to make him happy? And as long as he's happy, then, you know, things are good and we can live in this place. Or things are bad and he's angry. And so we can transfer how sometimes our earthly fathers are onto God, our Father. And we can be here living in this place of kind of this tension of trying to perform versus what our Father in heaven is really like. And what I want to do in these next scriptures is just undergird who God really is, and why that allows us access to Him. And so the first one is Psalms 34, verse 17. And I'm going to make sense of this first one, because the third word in this, you may go, well, that excludes me. Okay, but I'll explain that. So when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Like some of you in this room, even those that are children of God, you go, well, I don't feel righteous, or I'm not righteous, or I'm not holy and pure. And let me. This is the theology part of what I'm going to talk about today. Our righteousness will only ever be from what Jesus has done for us on the cross, completely. See, if there's any part of you that your righteousness is going to come from your good behavior, then you switch back into this side like we do with our earthly fathers, of behaving so that he is, you know, not angry at us, it doesn't punish us, instead of living in the place that God the Father, when we become his children, Jesus has imputed on us his righteousness. Like he's given us what he did completely. Now we have to receive Jesus to get that, but once we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we're righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. Not part of our righteousness and part of some of his, and then we're good. Like literally, the reason why. And I'm telling you, if this would click in our brains, our prayer life would be completely different. Because I would say a lot of us miss opportunities to connect with God the Father through prayer because we don't feel like we're clean enough to talk to God the Father. We don't. And so when we don't feel like it's a weird cycle. Like when we're most broken is when we most need God. But when we're most broken, we feel the furthest away from God and the least likely to connect with God. And so there's actually another one that, you know, God is for the humble and the broken. You know, Matthew, this isn't up there, but Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Like, it doesn't say, "Come to me, everybody that's figured it out and is living a good life and doing all the right things and praying and tithing and going to church and serving and doing all these things." He's saying, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden." So when we're the most broken, which as believers, we will still be, there's parts of us that are still going to be broken. There's going to be parts of us because we still live in this world that are going to struggle with sin, and it should be that that draws us into the Father instead of pushing us away. So when the righteous cry out, when you, as a son or daughter of the King, when you cry out, the Lord hears and delivers. Like, I think that's another hindrance to us praying, is we feel like, well, he just never responds. And I did say this a couple weeks ago. I stole this from a guy named Tim Keller. He pastors a church in New York City. Or in the Bronx, one or the other. And he had this statement that talking about prayer, you know, because sometimes we feel like, well, God's not giving me what I want. Because we think prayer is like going to the vending machine out there. And I put my 75 cents in, and I'm getting peanut M&Ms. And we feel like that's how God, like, God, I went to church. I didn't feel like it. I was tired. I went to church this morning. I put something in that offering box. I shook a couple people's hands. I did not say one curse word the whole time. Like, you owe me. Like, we think about it in that terms instead of in the phrase, Tim Keller, he said that we would, if we had all the facts that God has, if we knew every single thing that God knew about the circumstances and about us and about where we're going and where he's leading us, if we knew all of that, that we would answer every prayer just like he does. And I think sometimes, like, we also miss out on a prayer life because we go, I've tried it before and it didn't work. God is not a genie. He is not a vending machine. And that's what we'll discover as we go through, and I encourage you to come back. That's what we'll discover as we go through the Lord's Prayer, that if you want to connect with God, he's going to eliminate, because it says, you know, for us, give us this day our daily bread. Like, it didn't say, you know, give me the Mercedes. Give me the two-story house. Lots of square. Like, it's not like, give me the, it's like my daily bread. Like that's, you know, feed me today. Simple. And so another one, 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Like, I think we forget that he loved us so much that he sent his son to do what we couldn't do. That he had to witness his son being manhandled by sinful, wretched men and to be led to the cross and abused and mocked when he didn't have to. I mean, Jesus at any point could have called legions of angels and he could have, like, in my mind, my movie mind, he could have, like, blinked and they all, Indiana Jones, just, like, melted. Like, just gone. Like, okay, you want to hit me again? Go ahead and ask me to prophesy. You're dead. See you, Mike. You're done. Like, but he didn't. He withheld all the power of creation that he had in him and willingly went to the cross so that we could have this moment today where we even have the ability to not guess that he hears us, not assume that he hears us, but literally know that he cares For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I mean, this is God the Father loving us. And when he's saying, cast your worries and your fears on me because I care for you, he's saying, hey, come to me. Like a lot of us, we flip on the channels late at night looking for someone to answer all of our questions. I didn't know this, but Tony Robbins, everybody remember Tony Robbins back in the day, you know, like real excited, like public speaker guy. Well, there's a Netflix documentary. I've not watched it. I thought he was gone. But he's still out there encouraging people. But we look to someone to tell us, like, hey, make our life better, when God the Father has said, here, connect with me. Like, I'm not going to lead you into a world that's going to be chasing things that won't satisfy you. I'm going to lead you back to me. Psalms 55, verse 22, similar to 1 Peter. It says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous, remember who the righteous are, to be moved. Psalms 18, verse 6. And what's beautiful about all this in prayer, I mean, Psalms, you could literally, if you struggle with a prayer life, you could literally open up Psalms and read the Psalms and you're praying. You just change the way you're thinking about it instead of reading some other's words, which most of the Psalms are people crying out to help for God. And most of it's David, who was a king, a mighty warrior. I mean, he whined more than anyone, which is beautiful in the sense that we feel like, oh, we can't cry out. And here's David, this mighty man of God, a guy that is after God's own heart, and he poured out his heart and soul throughout the whole Psalms in prayer. So if you're struggling with words to think about how awesome God is, open up to Psalms and just read it. When you can gravitate to something, you just pray what you're reading. Let me finish reading. In my distress, Psalms 18:16, in my distress I called upon the Lord, and my God, I cried for help. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And here's the last scripture, and then we're going to pray for a little bit. Romans 8, and I think this is, if you don't know me, I love Romans 8. I got a new Bible for my birthday, and I just finally got to Romans 8, so I got to mark it up. I was really excited. And Romans 8:26, I think is beautiful, because like sometimes we feel like we just don't know what. And see, as we become children of God, God puts his Holy Spirit in us. If you're a child of God, it's in there. He is in there. And this scripture is beautiful because like sometimes we don't have a clue what we should be praying. And here is God going, hey, I put my Holy Spirit in you that is working things out. Listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Like, the Spirit inside of us is reaching out and praying. Like, it feels what we need. And another beautiful thing, which I didn't put on the screen, but like literally Jesus right now is interceding for us. Like he's spending time right now in heaven interceding for us, the saints. Okay, in verse 27 it says, he who searches hearts and knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit inside of you knows everything about you. Like God isn't like... Like sometimes, like when we finally get to that point where we're sharing that like hurt that has just rocked us and we let the words come out of our mouth, you know, I think a lot of times we're like, felt like God's like, oh, like where was I in the bathroom? Like when that happened, like I totally missed that. Like no, like everything that you would utter today or ever, God's already aware of. The heart cry. And I think when we finally come to that realization is when the Holy Spirit has done its work inside of us to bring to our attention what we need to finally verbalize to the Father. And so I think one of our best ways of learning anything is not hearing me talk about it. I like to talk. I wouldn't be a preacher if I didn't. But the reality is the best way to learn about prayer is to actually pray. And if you're here for the first time, we've not done this where we're going to pray for an extended period of time, and so it's going to be a little awkward for everyone. So no worries. And what I would like for us to do during this time is we're going to have the worship team come up in just a minute, and they're going to just play a little bit in the background, and that's going to lead into our last song. And I encourage you, not that I don't want you to worship, but I want you to pray. I want you to spend some time connecting. And part of that may be, like, you're in the room and you don't know Jesus, and maybe your prayer today is, I don't trust you, I don't know you, but I'd love to see you. I mean, it could be literally that simple. Like, I don't get everything. There's so many things that confuse me, but, like, here's what everybody says that you are, and here's what your word says that you are. I want to see you. Like, I want to know you, but I don't know how that is. So you can be as honest, which I encourage, be as honest with God in prayer as that you would be with your closest friend that just knows you, because this is the relationship that God wants to be in with us. And so that may be your prayer. Today, it may be that there's something going on in your life that you just need to let him know about. Not that he doesn't already know about it, but there's a power when we begin to acknowledge what's actually going on inside of us. And so there may be sin in your life. There may be some train wrecks that just happened that you need help getting out of, that you need help living through. There may be loss that is in your life. There may be things that have been taken away that you don't know how to live without them, and you just need God to show you what to do next. And I just want to give you a place to do that. So I'm going to ask our worship team to come up front. And you can sit there quietly and pray to yourself. You can, look at somebody and be like, hey, can we pray? I don't think there's anybody in this room that would go like, no. They may, but most likely not. Like, if you want to pray with a group of people, I encourage that. If you want to pray with your spouse or the family that you're here with, I encourage that. If you want to pray alone by yourself, and it's like, because some things we just need to be alone and connect with God and let our voice be heard to him through what's going on with us, I encourage that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start us with prayer, and then I'm not going to say amen. I'm going to be quiet for a little bit, and the team's going to play a little bit in the background. There's the nice noise of the fans. It gets a little warm in here for whatever reason, so the fans, you can whisper, you can talk internally to yourself. But ask God some of those things that you need to hear from him. Maybe today it's that you want to be known and know him as a father. Maybe your earthly father has ruined your opinion of God, and you just need to talk to him about changing that. And maybe there's things in your life that you just need direction on. This is what this following Jesus is about. He spent time teaching his disciples how to connect, because he knew when he left, he wasn't going to be there to answer all those questions, but the Holy Spirit would be. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to have about 5 to 8 minutes of worship and pray, and then I'll come back up and close our service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't even know. There's so many things that are going on in this room that need your attention. And Lord, we just acknowledge by what we read that you're going to hear every single one of them. Lord, if all of us all at once begin sharing with you what's going on in our heart, Lord, you don't have to wait like I do and hear one at a time, Lord, that you can hear and understand and be right there with every single one of us. And so, Lord, I pray that Romans 8, Lord, that Holy Spirit that you've put in us, that you would allow that groaning inside of us. Because the Holy Spirit knows what we really need. Lord, we are even now deceiving ourselves for what we think we need, and you want to change that. Lord, because you know not only what we desire, but you know what we need as a people to be satisfied and to be fulfilled. And so, Lord, as we pray, as we open our mouths and you listen to us, Lord, I pray on the other end of that, Lord, I pray that you would respond. Lord, I pray over the next 6 weeks that we would learn to not only communicate with you, but to hear your voice. So, Lord, thank you for the sweetness of what's going to happen in these few minutes of us pouring out as your children to our dad. And so, Lord, just receive and hear our prayers to you.